Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This article is entitled, Texas Power Use Soars to All-Time High for Ninth Time This Year, by Noreen S. Malik, Bloomberg. Electricity use in Texas soared to a record high for the ninth time this year, as extreme heat and the rapidly growing local economy tests the state's grid. Demand rose to more than 78.9 gigawatts during the hour ending at 5 p.m. Central Time, according to the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, which operates the system. ERCOT demand had previously set new highs 8 times over 5 weeks, with the most recent peak of 78.4 gigawatts on July 12th. Usage is forecast to peak Monday night at about 79 gigawatts. The grid operator says there is enough supply to meet the demand. A gigawatt is enough to power about 200,000 Texas homes. Electricity use records are falling at an unprecedented pace, within days and weeks, whereas in the previous decade, it took 1 to 4 years for ERCOT power usage to post a new record. This Texas summer is proving to be relentlessly hot, which means that aging power plants are running harder and more prone to breaking down, slashing supply. Households and businesses may be asked to step up again to conserve in the coming days and weeks after responding to ERCOT's call to do so twice last week. ERCOT Interim Chief Executive Officer Brad Jones said he's confident that the grid has the tools in place to keep the power flowing. As consumers crank up their air conditioners, pushing demand to new heights, ERCOT expects to have enough supply on hand, as long as plants don't break down or the wind doesn't stop blowing. That will be the big test heading into August. Still, the state grid will be repeatedly tested this week. ERCOT demand is forecast to set another record on Tuesday and then top that on Wednesday at 81.5 gigawatts.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, July 20th, 2022. Safety tips for summer activities. Take extra precautions in heat, regardless of outdoor activities you choose. Dear Mayo Clinic, I love to be outdoors. I enjoy running, hiking, and swimming. Often in the summer, I take my family camping, and we go kayaking, canoeing, and do other activities. With the temperatures anticipated to be above average this summer, what advice do you have for making sure we avoid issues while being active outside? It is great that you are dedicated to staying healthy through exercise, and being outdoors certainly is a bonus. Being active at all ages is recommended for all patients to improve overall health. While some people lose the motivation to exercise when it is hot outside, others enjoy activities that only warm weather can bring. Hot weather, however, can put extra stress on your body. If you are not careful, you can risk serious illness because of the air temperature, humidity, and often lack of hydration. It is important to take extra precautions regardless of the outdoor activities you choose. You should watch the temperature. Pay attention to weather forecasts and heat alerts. Know what the temperature is expected to be for the duration of your planned outdoor activity. In running events, there are flag warnings that correspond to the degree of heat and humidity. For example, a yellow flag requires careful monitoring, and races are canceled in black flag conditions. Get acclimated to the weather. If you are used to exercising indoors or in cooler weather, take it easy at first when you exercise in the heat. It can take at least 1 to 2 weeks to adapt to the heat. As your body adapts to the heat over time, gradually increase the length and intensity of your workouts. Know your fitness level. If you are not as fit as you would like or are new to exercise, be extra cautious when working out in the heat. Your body may have a lower tolerance to the heat. Reduce your exercise intensity and take frequent breaks. Drink plenty of fluids. Dehydration is a key factor in heat illness. Help your body sweat and cool down by staying well hydrated with water. Do not wait until you are thirsty to drink fluids. If you plan to exercise intensely, consider a sports drink and water. Sports drinks can replace the sodium, chloride, and potassium you lose through sweating. Avoid drinks with excessive sugar and alcoholic drinks because they can promote fluid loss. Dress appropriately. Lightweight, loose-fitting clothing helps sweat evaporate and keeps you cooler. Avoid dark colors that can absorb heat. If possible, wear a light-colored, wide-brimmed hat. Avoid midday sun. In warmer weather months, it is best to exercise in the morning or evening, when it's likely to be a bit cooler. If possible, exercise in shady areas or do a water workout in a pool. Wear sunscreen. A sunburn decreases your body's ability to cool itself and increases the risk of skin cancer. Use a sunscreen with a sun protection factor of at least 50 and reapply often if you are in water, sweating, or doing vigorous activity for more than 2 hours. Have a backup plan. If you're concerned about the heat or humidity, stay indoors. Work out at the gym, walk laps inside the mall, or climb stairs inside an air-conditioned building. Understand your medical risks. Certain medical conditions or medications can increase your risk of a heat-related illness. If you plan to exercise in the heat, talk to your healthcare professional about precautions. Pay attention to your body and its temperature. You want to be mindful of your body to reduce the risk of serious heat-related conditions, including heat stroke, when your body temperature is greater than 104 degrees Fahrenheit. Signs and symptoms of health-related illness vary, but may include muscle cramps, nausea or vomiting, fainting, dizziness or headache, excessive sweating, low blood pressure, and vision problems. Heat-related illnesses are largely preventable. If you begin to experience any issues, stop exercising immediately and get out of the heat. It is imperative to lower your body temperature and hydrate right away. You may place cool, wet towels or ice packs on your neck, forehead, and under your arms. Spray yourself with water from a hose or shower, or sit in a tub filled with cold water. Drink fluids, such as water or a sports drink. If you do not feel better within about 20 minutes, seek emergency medical care. Lastly, if you have any other health issues, it is advisable to talk with your primary health provider before returning to vigorous activity. Compiled by Mayo Clinic staff. Diet impacts health plan. Food as Medicine prioritizes food, diet, and individual's health plan. Quote, you are what you eat, end quote. Quote, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, end quote. Quote, the greatest wealth is health, end quote. Quote, let food be thy medicine shall be thy food, end quote. These are all sayings we are familiar with. Healthcare professionals worldwide recognize the impact one's diet plays in an individual's health. The world is facing a global epidemic of diet-related chronic disease. In fact, according to a 2020 article published in the BMJ, quote, one of every five deaths across the globe is attributable to suboptimal diet, more than any other risk factor, including tobacco, end quote. In response, quote, there is increased experimentation with the use of food as medicine, interventions to prevent, manage, and treat illness, end quote. Food as medicine, or, quote, food as medicine, end quote, is the intersection of healthcare and nutrition. Food as medicine prioritizes food and diet in an individual's health plan, with the goal of either preventing, reducing symptoms of, or reversing disease processes. The word diet is closely associated with what you cannot eat. Although a health plan will include foods that should be reduced or avoided, it is important to realize the healing properties of the nutrients found in many foods. Vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, fiber, protein, and healthy fats can all play their part in nourishing and protecting your body. The Western diet, or standard American diet, is high in processed foods and low in whole foods and lacking in the vital nutrients. Yes, you could take a supplement. However, when you buy a supplement, you are getting one or a few isolated vitamins, minerals, or other compounds. When you bite into a piece of whole fruit or a vegetable, you're getting hundreds of vitamins, minerals, and phytochemicals that work better together than they do in isolation. Supplements do not have natural synergy that you get from eating whole foods. For the past 6 years, Healthy City, a local nonprofit, has brought Food as Medicine to Midland. This all-day seminar features lifestyle medicine industry leaders that have studied the effects of lifestyle changes on different disease processes. This year, we are happy to have Brooke Goldner, MD, who has three best-selling books, Goodbye lupus, goodbye autoimmune disease, and green smoothie recipes to kickstart your health and healing. Kick off our seminar. Dr. Goldner knows firsthand the devastation of disease. At 16 years old, she was told her lupus had gone after her kidneys, and it did not look like they could be saved. Dr. Scott Stoll and Dr. Jim Loomis will return to Midland. Also new this year is registered dietitian Alexandra Caspero and certified health and wellness coach Karen Duggan. Caspero is the co-founder of Plant-Based Juniors, an evidence-based platform that helps parents navigate the world of plant-based prenatal and pediatric nutrition. Duggan will be conducting a cooking demonstration at this year's event. We would love for you to join us August 6th for Food is Medicine at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, or check out the many resources available through the Healthy City website, ourhealthycity.com. Signs to look for if you suspect loved one is developing dementia. Dear Mayo Clinic, my mom is in her 80s, and I've noticed that her memory seems to be slipping. Sometimes she forgets a person's name or can't recall what she did the day before. Is it normal to have these types of lapses at her age, or should I be worried they are signs of something more serious? It is understandable that you are concerned about changes in your mother's memory. Memory lapses and modest decline in thinking skills are common as people age. There's a difference, however, between normal changes in memory and memory loss associated with neurodegenerative conditions, such as Alzheimer's disease and Lewy body dementia. And some memory problems are the result of treatable conditions. It may help to think of memory function as running on a continuum, with each person's memory and cognitive functioning falling somewhere along it. Some people have sharp memories and can recall even the smallest details, while others struggle to remember big events. Memory changes can be viewed as movement along this continuum. Minor changes in memory, as a person ages, are considered normal. This includes misplacing reading glasses or occasionally having difficulty finding the right word. These situations are common, and within the range of normal memory changes. These types of lapses don't interfere with daily life and are not considered signs of dementia. Early signs can include asking the same questions repeatedly, forgetting common words when speaking, taking longer to complete familiar simple tasks such as operating a microwave or washing machine, being unable to perform complete tasks with many steps such as following a recipe or playing a board game, misplacing items in inappropriate places such as putting a wallet in the refrigerator, getting confused while walking or driving in a familiar area, limiting participation in conversations. I recommend that you schedule an appointment for your mother with a memory care expert. Alzheimer's disease and other neurodegenerative conditions cannot be diagnosed by completing a one-time memory test.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Is it okay to wash masks? Dear Dr. Roach, it's been publicized that we should not wash N95 or KN95 COVID masks, because that would compromise one of the protective layers inside. What about the ubiquitous light blue pleated expandable masks that are worn by so many people? Is it okay to wash them without compromising their effectiveness? Answer: surgical masks are quite effective for everyday use, but when there is a high risk of exposure, physicians still wear a certified N95 mask. KN95 masks are a reasonable alternative as long as they are approved by the Food and Drug Administration. The FDA revoked the emergency use authorization for KN95 masks when certain N95 masks were no longer in short supply. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention does not recommend washing surgical masks. High-quality surgical face masks are available online for about 15 cents each.
This is the Dear Abby column. Rumors and lies envelop divorcee living abroad. Dear Abby, I retired to Malaga, Spain after my marriage of 38 years ended in divorce. I have gone to dinner with a few men since moving here. This is a lovely community with many retired residents from all over Europe and the UK. My problem is, after a few dates, they assume that because they bought me dinner, it entitles them to sex. I am fit and fairly attractive, but I may be out of touch on dating. These men have implied to others that we did have sex, and now single and married men are calling me. The only way they could have gotten my number is through these men. I have tried to make light of this, but I'm worried that when my sons or grandchildren visit next month, they will hear something that isn't true. How do I stop this nonsense without causing hard feelings? Signed, Not Like That At All. Dear Not Like That, what has been done to you is vile and disgusting. Someone that you refuse to have sex with has retaliated with equivalent of writing your phone number on a bathroom wall. Tell your sons now what has been going on, so they will be prepared when they visit. And if you accept any more invitations, make it clear in advance that you will be paying for your dinner yourself. Dear Abby, my husband and I have been trying to have a child for 9 years with no success. We have been through 14 rounds of fertility drugs, only two of which were successful, but neither one produced a child. My husband wants me to stop treatments because he doesn't like what the medications do to me, and I have agreed to stop because I think my body is just too tired. But Abby, all of me wants to be a mother. Must I give up, or should I keep trying even though it might lead to further heartbreak? Signed, Maternal in Washington. Dear Maternal, listen to your body. It may be time to consider other options than fertility drugs. These include fostering, adoption, or hiring a surrogate to help. These are subjects to pursue, first with your husband, then your physician, and possibly an attorney who specializes in adoption law. And don't forget, it isn't unheard of for some women who adopt to later become pregnant without medical intervention. I wish you luck on whichever path you choose. Dear Abby, my son is getting married for the third time. I paid for half of his first wedding and also gave a generous gift. I gave him a significant cash gift for his second wedding. Do I give him and his new bride yet another cash gift? They are planning a small wedding overseas, which I won't be attending. All have been, or will be, first weddings for the brides. I don't want the new bride to feel slighted, but on the other hand, it's getting really expensive for me. They live a nomadic life, so material gifts would not be appreciated by them. What's a perplexed mother to do? Signed, Disgusted Mom in Florida. Dear Mom, write them a check and hope the third time is the charm for your nomadic son. Then tell him you're closing your checkbook. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.